We're starting the show.
I'm ready.
Now.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, and welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared. I'm joined by Vanessa. Vanessa, are you out there?
I'm here.
Vanessa is here, not in studio, as you could tell, but Vanessa is here to talk to us. Dean is still traveling all around the world. I think he's in France right now.
I know. Yeah, I think he's in France.
I'm pretty jealous. I hope he's having a wonderful time, which he is. But we have a very special guest in studio to kick things off this episode. We have a relationship expert, a best-selling author of 5 acclaimed books, none other than Charles J. Orlando. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Yes. So, we're excited. We got balloons. We got horns. We're ready to go. So, Charles, you're also on the Lifetime Lifetime Channel show 7-Year Switch.
That's it. Season three.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. So 7-Year Switch takes 4 couples that are in emotional turmoil and helps them reach a better place through a radical concept called switch therapy. They work with us and they end up working, us being the experts, and they work with a like-minded person who's going through something similar. We keep a very close eye on them, put them on an accelerated path for 2 weeks where we get them out of their bad patterns, remove all the stuff that's causing them to head down a path towards divorce or further disconnection, and get them to a better place, both individually and hopefully as a couple.
So what is switch therapy? Like you said, you use switch therapy to fix this problem.
So we work with the couples as married couples, and then we switch them for 2 weeks. So that they can get a better, so you're smirking, and I'll help that.
No, I'm smirking because I have a mind of a 12-year-old, and you can imagine where I just went.
No, so well, everybody does, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure that, Vanessa, you're sitting over there thinking the same things as well. And it's easy to go down that path where it's like, oh, this is a show about hookups. Actually, no. This is a show about perspective. You can't learn new skills without a practice ground. Mm. So could these couples do something stupid on national television? Yes. They could. That's not the goal, though.
That's why the 7-year switch. Is this at the 7th year of your marriage?
Well, it's a play on 7-year itch, the movie starring Marilyn Monroe, talking about the challenges that people experience once the honeymoon has kind of faded away, and now you're in what many people would consider the humdrum of day to day. It's a challenge for most couples.
It's a challenge for everybody.
Sure.
So do couples sign themselves up? Do they get nominated by somebody? Or do you actively go out searching for couples?
Both. There's an extensive casting process along with psychological evaluations and a real assessment of where they're at both individually and as a couple before they're admitted to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what do you see is a trend in after how many years of marriage?
Well, so
seeing more of a problem in the marriage or issues that start arising.
Well, I can give you the statistics because there's no hard and fast rule around when couples start experiencing disconnection. Some people experience it on their first date, yet they get married anyway. Statistically, all marriages in the domestic U.S. End before year 5. So there's a divorce before year 5, 50% divorce rate. I know this isn't good news for you. I'm recently engaged.
I'm very confident in my relationship, but you're telling me that 50% of couples in the United States don't last 5 years.
Yes. And that's only half of the data. Of those that make it 5 years, 50% of those don't make it to year 10. That's a 75% divorce rate.
let me just check the numbers on that one.
they're divorced and they're both in now loving, long-term committed relationships. What do you think is, well, I'm having trouble, as we mentioned last week. I'm newly single again. Well, not newly. I was like kind of dating, but now I'm like completely single. And I just find it hard to find someone I can connect with on a deeper level, especially now with this new, like all the dating apps that are out there. I'm not on any dating apps, so it's really hard for me to meet someone organically because I find a lot of people are just hiding behind computer screens and their phones. So what do you think is one of the biggest issues now or the problems that why divorce is so high?
Well, you just kind of called it out from my perspective. There's two things, and it's a fantastic question. There's two main things that are really changing how people meet and interrelate from jump. The first is technology. Technology gives us the illusion of being connected when the truth is that we're more distant than ever. Most relationships have a technological aspect to it where there's communication takes place over email or text message or voicemail, or there's a lot on the phone. And that's a very subjective way of relating to each other. I mean, if you back up 30 or 40 years, the divorce rates weren't necessarily so high. Disconnection wasn't so bad. And couples like would speak in person like this, like we're in studio.
Yeah.
Right. You have body language. You have facial features and emotions that you can go off of. All those things are missing when you have a subjective piece of technology that teaches you how to communicate. So that's the first thing. The second, though, is what you're talking about when we talk about online dating. And that's false positives and expectations being projected on somebody you actually don't know. Like, yeah, you read their profile and then that's not enough. So you stalk their Instagram and you check them out on Snapchat. Like, you build up an entire persona of a person,
right,
that you actually don't even know, because,
that's,
you know, you're evaluating two different things when you're dating somebody or when you meet somebody. The first is, are we compatible? But the second is, how do they plug into my life? And those are two things that are mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're connected, but they're mutually exclusive.
So as a relationship expert, how do you advise our listeners to best meet people nowadays?
Well, online dating can help you cast a wide net, but the best way to meet somebody, in my estimation, is to get out into the real world, which is harder.
Mm-hmm. You say something on your Instagram that I read last night that I absolutely loved, where you said, stop saying it's easier said than done. Just do it, then it will get easier over time, which I completely agree with. People, practice makes perfect. For example, if you're a guy and you want to approach girls at a bar, you have to actually practice that by going up to girls at a bar. And the first time you do it, you're probably going to suck at it. But over time, it will get easier because you keep doing it over and over and over again. And when I read that quote on your Instagram, I don't know, just something resonated with me.
Well, and I appreciate that. And it's true. We are experiential learners. Like, there's no way to learn a new skill unless you practice a new skill. Like, so did you take a foreign language in school?
Yes.
And you were good right out of the gate, right?
Killed it, obviously.
Obviously.
I can speak fluent Spanish.
And French and Greek and Italian.
And everything.
Of course. But so that's really
She's Canadian, it's not fair.
I call nonsense, mm-hmm, on that. I call shenanigans, that's not fair.
Shenanigans.
But no, what we're really talking about is, to your point, practice makes perfect. So you're not going to have a lot of success, but that's at the beginning. But that's hard. You know, to be that vulnerable and be that open is really, really difficult. So you're newly engaged. How long have you guys been dating? I'm going to put you on the couch for a second.
We've been dating for not long. A few months, maybe.
We've known each other for years.
Yeah, a few months. But we've known each other for over 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a nice foundation to start from.
We have a great foundation.
All right. So here's the other part. So the third part, we were talking about expectations. We were talking about false positives and technology. But the third part is forgetting that people change over time. So the woman that you love today has a foundation,
mm-hmm,
okay, and so do you as a man. But you guys are going to change as individuals over the next 10, 30, 50 years. And the way relationships work successfully is when you change together. When you start drifting, you don't check back in, and you're not connecting on a constant basis, you by default are drifting apart.
So
and you end up on my show.
And then you end up on our show where we do the 7-year switch. So my question is, what would you tell these couples who do change over time and their love also changes over time and they start, like, I've never found that because love changes, that means your relationship is getting worse. It's just becoming different. So how, like, what would you tell those people on how to make your relationship better even though things change over time?
Don't rest on your laurels. Like, love is a contract, okay? And it has to be renewed every single day. And it sounds trite. It sounds like that somebody would put on Instagram, like me, right? Like, you write that. But it's never been more true. You have to reconnect every single day about the big stuff and really about the little things. They count the most. So if you're pissed off that they didn't put the cap back on the tube of toothpaste, you're not supposed to hide that as a resentment that you don't talk about. You're supposed to say, dude, you're killing me. We just put it back, it takes 2 seconds.
So you'd say communication is probably the most important part.
But honesty, right? Because communication too often means two things. It means a postured view of what you're giving them. Like, you know, mm-hmm, I don't want to hurt their feelings. It's not about hurting their feelings. Just put it out straight. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second, though, is that for too many people, communication means to speak. And it doesn't. It means to listen also.
Of course.
Without judgment. So if she says, I just don't have time in the morning, I don't care. Your job is to then put yourself in her shoes. Like, well, how can we work together to make this happen? Maybe there's a different type of toothpaste that doesn't require, you know, the top to go back on. You can just flip it back instead. That's where we start problem solving instead of, no, put it back on. Now we're advocating who's right and who's wrong, when the truth is that everybody's right from their own point of view. So if you get your ego out of the way, you all of a sudden end up in a place where you're working together instead of apart.
Sometimes I find it difficult, though, while I'm being honest, sometimes I think my tone, some like things that bother me, for example, little things like that, if I'm being honest about them, I feel that my tone is negative, which doesn't create an argument, but just creates an awkward vibe in the air for the simple fact that it's annoying and she knows it. And while we can fix it, like, how do I approach that?
Well, you would start by saying what you just said. So you'll, if you're experiencing yourself as like maybe coming across maybe crappy, ask her, like, are you hearing me as some kind of jerk right now? And then she's supposed to say, yeah, I really don't like the way you're talking to me. And you're supposed to say, all right, hold on, let me find a different way to phrase this, because I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. Like, let me put it a different way.
Yeah.
So then now you're still working together through a disconnection. See, look, too many people think that the perfect relationship has no fights and no arguments, and that is nonsense.
It is nonsense.
It's
You're
garbage.
Absolutely right. I've seen my parents been married for 35 years, and I've seen so many arguments between them, but they are the most loving and dependent people on each other because they've gone through those arguments, because they've gone through tough times, and still have overcome those obstacles together. And that's real love in my mind.
Well, sure. You're talking about, like, disconnections are normal. What keeps your folks together is how they repair. Because everybody's arguments are normal, you know. I mean, if you think you got an expert here sitting at the microphone that doesn't screw up his own relationships, boy, do you got the wrong guy here.
No,
but it's how you put it together.
I'm single right now, so obviously I'm trying to like reevaluate the whole dating scene and all that, and I'm taking time to refocus on things that I know that I did in my relationships and my past relationships that maybe were not the healthiest, and probably, you know, it didn't contribute in the most positive ways. What kind of advice would you give? Because right now, Jared is engaged and he's engaged to be married. What kind of advice would you give to someone who is single? Last week we had Patty Stanger from Not to Make Her Millionaire, and she was saying how the guys want women who aren't hungry, who aren't thirsty, who don't give off that, like, I want to get married and I want to have kids, and, you know, who are more like easygoing type. I'm not that I'm not that. I don't know where I kind of fit right now, but I feel like I don't get approached in the way that I kind of want to be approached, or with the kind of guys that I want to approach me. So I have to be the hunter. I have to be the go-getter, and I have to be the one that has to kind of do the chasing. And so when Jared was talking about practice makes perfect and going into bars and going up to women, that's me.
Right.
So am I doing this wrong?
No, I don't think you're doing it wrong. I do think, just as a comment, a brief comment, I think that there's too many men today who don't know what to do with equality in the world, where they have the notion of feminism mixed up with what it means to be involved in a relationship and what primal courtship rituals are all about, which strips away whatever equality is. Because I'm a staunch advocate of feminism.
Yeah.
But
so am I, just for the record.
But courtship is still courtship. So, you know,
right.
The guys who are sitting listening to this saying, no, I'm the alpha male, they come to me. No, idiot. The alpha male goes after. Know the definition of what you say you are, please.
Wait, so, say that again. So the alpha male, you're saying that people, men are self-proclaiming themselves.
Men are sitting back.
They are sitting back. But I also don't think that it's anything wrong for nowadays for a woman to approach a man, because we are in changing times and some men are just shy. And some men don't know how to approach a woman because they've just never really been taught that, because we live in a different age.
Well, I totally agree. And that's the second half of this. When you know, Vanessa, when you're asking, you know, how do I do this? Am I doing the right things? Should I be approaching these guys at bars? Definitely. But then I would ask you, what is your definition of love? Because too many people, they're looking for a relationship. They're looking for love. And I would say no. What you want to look for is happiness. You want to look for how you feel about you when you're with this person. From there, a relationship becomes normal. Like, don't pre-qualify yourself, because the moment you say, I really want to be in a relationship, what you're actually saying is, I'm going to ignore all the red flags and all the things that I don't like, and I'm going to pretend that this is great, because just I just need a warm body next to me. And that's not the way it runs. That's not the way it's supposed to go.
I think, and I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, in the last 5 years, I feel like I've lived like 9 different lives. And I thought at the age of 25, I knew exactly what I wanted in a partner, although being, you know, the fundamentals have not changed. But in the way that I perceive a relationship and perceive my own happiness, that has changed. And I think oftentimes we tend to equate our happiness or how sad or you know, proud we are to the person that we're with. And if you wake up happy, it's because you make yourself happy. And I think that's where I'm starting to work on and just being comfortable with myself.
Right. Well, happiness is...
invite someone into that.
Happiness is definitely an inside job, but it's also your definition of where you want, because too many people end up with a specific plan of what they want from this person, and they have this package involved. But sometimes Mr. Right doesn't come in a two-piece suit with a smooth line and drink his hand. Sometimes he trips over his own words. He spills his drink on your dress and says, well, shoot, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, my name is stupid and I'm going to just disappear over here for a minute. They're just real. So if you get out of your own way and start realizing that you're supposed to look for how you feel about you with them instead of how they make you feel. That's two different things.
I agree. I think all my life I've pictured the idea of who I should be with and what they should be like. And Ashley, my fiance, is the complete opposite of that. But I love everything about her. It's so interesting because, like I said, I've just always pictured myself with like a little, you know, white picket fence and like this small house in Rhode Island with this very cute, shy girl that's like, you know, sunflowers and rainbows. And I never envisioned myself with somebody like Ashley, and yet I've never been happier, and she is the person that I am supposed to be with. And so I totally agree with that. Like, don't have your blinders on. You know, be open to a lot of different types of people. And I think also, to tap back into happiness, you have to be responsible for your own happiness. I think people are forgetting that nowadays because everybody gets a participation trophy. So they're like, no. Like, I need reassurance. I need support. I can't do this on my own. It's like, well, sometimes you're going to have to. And while, yes, love is a relationship, like, marriage and relationships are two people coming together to become one. Having said that, you can't just solely rely on that other person to bring you happiness. I don't know.
No, you're right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the people forget that when you join a relationship. So, you know, this is obviously broadcast. This isn't television. So, but I'll give it to you here in studio. You picture two people with 100% of their stuff together. Okay. And each person puts 50% into the middle. And that makes 100% relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But it also keeps 50% of themselves back.
That's so.
You maintain your individuality. You put in 100% of your 50. Okay. Each person puts in 50% to make a relationship work at 100%. So, but they also keep a lot back for themselves.
Like what?
Mm-hmm. Like whatever you want to do. What interests you that Ashley doesn't even care about?
Of course.
Well, I think Will Smith said it. Will Smith said it once on for Valentine's Day. He was saying how relationships should be two individual people on their own individual path. And now and then their paths will cross, but then they will uncross and you will still continue on your own path. And I guess that's kind of like the same analogy maybe you're talking about, where you're putting in that 50%, 100% of that 50% into the relationship, but you still keep some to yourself.
Yes, you're supposed to.
In order to do the things,
Well, and it's not about being secretive. It's not about holding back from your relationship. What I'm saying is, what do you want? Don't tell me about your wife, your girlfriend, your kids, your boss, your car, like any of that stuff. What do you want from life?
I think some people don't like that because it takes like the romantic side of it out. Where it's like,
no,
have to be more logical about going into your relationship because you have to go 50% of you into the relationship and then 50% out. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Well,
I'm saying is that I think probably some people are like, well, that just, it sounds too...
Non-Disney?
Non-Disney, exactly.
But that's what we were taught. I guess that's what we've been taught to do at a young age. And I think that's why a lot of relationships don't work out or marriages don't work out, because you kind of lose your own identity. And you want to, and I think that was an issue that I had too. I wanted to always fulfill whatever my partner's soul needed, and I was forgetting what my needs and my desires were. And then when the relationship would end, I'm like, oh God, I'm going back to being myself again. So I think, you know, it's important to always have, I always say, I didn't use that 50-50 analogy. I would always say maybe 70% 30% do, and you know, if all else fails, then at least they're starting back up from 30%, and you're not starting back from zero.
Charles, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's important nowadays to be in a committed relationship or a marriage?
I think that's an individual decision. I think that commitment doesn't necessarily need a marriage behind it. Marriage is a public, religious, and or spiritual proclamation of love that already exists. So if you're not in love and you're not connected, no piece of paper, no ceremony, no gathering of friends is going to make that real or more real. As for commitment, that's an individual decision. I would argue that primally and sociologically, we're not meant for marriage as a species.
That's what kind of I'm going towards, because even while I'm hearing you talk about like 50% in, but make sure you get 50% out, it's so curious that we put such an emphasis on marriage and lifelong partners. And when you take a step back, is it in our nature to be with only one person for the rest of our lives?
From a human standpoint, the answer is no. Sociologically, the answer is no. It actually goes against our DNA. We're supposed to procreate, sire children, perpetuate strong bloodlines.
So where did this all come from?
Well, if you back up in history...
Religion?
Well, partially. Marriage was usually... it was either religious in nature, but it was really also mostly tied into political alignment, where you would stop wars, align families, align countries... So these were largely arranged marriages, which is a different show on Lifetime right before us. But it was really about connecting people together for political or military reasons. It was also rooted in patriarchy. So what you were actually doing was guaranteeing sexual access by a man to an exclusive woman. That's all that she was allowed to be with.
So how did it evolve now to finding your soulmate? What do you think happened?
Well, I think there's a lot of romance put behind it. I'm a firm believer in, so I can give you the reality of history and all of that, but I'm a firm believer in love at first sight and soulmates and connection. You know, if, I mean, I can quote Carl Sagan here, right? Like if we're all star stuff and we're all made of the same thing that's floating through the cosmos, then we are all connected anyway. So if that's true, then, you know, pieces of us are running around this room and all the listeners that are here, and we're all connected in some way. So I can add the romance back into this really quickly, but it won't matter if you add a bunch of stuff to it that has to be achieved with all the expectations. Like, connection is really natural. You know, this conversation has been really fluid the whole time we've been in it, because we're all comfortable. We're all sitting here. You guys didn't know me before I sat down.
Not at all.
But we're all connected now, and we're all talking and being honest and open.
Except for 7-Year Switch, which I do watch.
Well, those people have some challenges that they have to...
Yeah,
have
but it's a very interesting show.
Well, so what do you find interesting about it?
The fact that it's like... the fact that people get in such a rut sometimes that they feel the need to change their entire life to a certain extent. Where I need to put myself in somebody else's shoe to realize what I have and what I should be grateful for and what I need in life.
That's so. I would never argue with your perception, and I agree with it. The other side of it, from the expert standpoint, is that we're removing all the bad patterns that got them to that point anyway. Mm-hmm. Right now, so if you think about traditional couples therapy, you spend 60 minutes with an expert to try to learn new things. Then you go home and you spend 6 days and 23 hours reinforcing all the negative crap that you're trying to undo. We get you out of that pattern and we pull you out for 2 weeks and we partner you with somebody as a training ground to learn new skills and new communication tactics.
Mm-hmm. So how do you get them out of that pattern? And is 2 weeks enough for them to get out of that pattern?
Well, that's the amazing part of human dynamics. When you're partnered with the same person for a long time, you've known your fiance for 3 years. Mm-hmm. If I were to live under your bed for a week and listen to the interaction between the two of you, I'd have a sense of...
It's weird to think about.
Yeah, that analogy didn't really go well. But let's
try to picture that.
But, you know, it's when you get to know really the inner workings of a relationship, how you interrelate. And those dynamics are really baked in because you're out of dating mode. You may be in romance and engagement mode, but you guys know each other pretty well.
Yes.
And that's what these couples are experiencing. Like, they know each other really well. I know that if I say, I don't understand, you've hurt my feelings, what he will say back to me is, yeah, well, I got to go to work, so I don't really care. Like, I got to go. Mm-hmm. You always have your feelings hurt. But we take them out of that and we put them with someone new, where you would never say that to a total stranger, just to your spouse, right? The person you love the most. We get them back to basics, with how to communicate with people, and we get to rejuvenate and redo their dynamics as a couple by giving them a safe training ground and a brand new perspective. So it's both, right? They get this training ground for new communication techniques, and they get the perspective of, yeah, so if you keep going down this path with your spouse, your life will be without them, and this is how that feels.
I love that, because I've always believed that relationships and marriage, that you have to put effort and work into it, and the idea of going back to basics, kind of relearn each other a little bit to really work on one another, is very important. I love that concept.
Well, it's working on one another for sure, and it's also working on themselves.
Individual. Yeah,
yes.
That's what I meant. Like, not only working on each other, but working on yourself to make sure that you're a better partner.
Exactly. And we all have work to do, including me. You know, I'm still working on stuff.
And that's very important for everybody to be self-aware to the fact that, yes, there are things that, like, for me personally, that I need to do better within my relationship to make Ashley happier and to make myself happier and to make us a better couple. But before you go, I have to touch on this because it's such a fascinating story. You went undercover on a website called AshleyMadison.com, which is notoriously known for cheating husbands who go on there and hook up with women on the internet.
Right. I was on there before the bots were on there trying to get people to date and all of that.
Wasn't there like a year ago something that happened with this website?
Yeah.
There was like a lot of
data
names.
Data breach.
I was part of that data breach.
Did your name come out?
Oh, yeah. I'm on the dark web.
Holy sh**.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you went undercover.
I did.
So,
but I used my a fake name, but a real email address so that I could interact.
So what gave you this idea? How did you even, why did you do this?
Well, I'm really brave or I'm really stupid. Probably both.
50-50.
I don't know. I think
you
I
seem like a very
stupid side.
No, you seem like a very intelligent man.
Not this time. Anybody who puts their relationship on the line to investigate this way, not in order to save their relationship like on 7-year switch, but to test the waters and see why people do things. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it again. But it was a fascinating exploration. So the long story short is that I went undercover. I created 3 different personas. And what I was really trying to come up with, I had a hypothesis of why women end up upset in their relationships and why they choose to cheat instead of leave. But I wanted to get some real world fact on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this was with my wife's knowledge. Like, you know, I didn't go undercover without telling her.
Smart man.
Or really stupid, as we said. So, I ended up in over 30 chat sessions that ended up super dicey. Like, and I wrote about it in the article. Like, you can picture, this article was optioned for film, by the way.
That's what I was just about to say. This is going to be made into a movie.
Hopefully. But, you know, I'm sitting on the couch as my daughter's at the table doing her homework. My son's playing the PlayStation, pushing his controller at me, saying, play doubles with me, as I'm talking to some lady about how she wants to go down on me later that night, right? Like, totally surreal experience. So I took 30 online sessions and parlayed that into 3 in-person dates. And I got to tell you, like, you put yourself in harm's way and you find harm, right? Like, I didn't cheat, but I really wanted to. And
yeah. Okay.
And
your wife was aware, like you were open about this?
We talked all about it.
I'm guessing like this website, Ashley Madison, is kind of like Instagram and Facebook. Like, it's so accessible to be doing those things online and behind someone's back.
Well, it's accessible.
You don't have to go on a website.
No, you don't. I mean, Ashley Madison just makes a business out of it. You can do it anywhere. And that's what, to your point, like, it's so accessible anywhere. You can do this anywhere. And it's so, you know, temptation used to be like you go out with the boys, you have a couple of drinks, you end up with this, you know, hot lady at the end of the bar. That's tempting. Now you just fire up your mobile phone.
And it's all in front of your face. That's the thing. You just scroll through Instagram and it's just all right there.
Yeah, it's bad.
It is really bad. Yeah.
Do you feel like this put a strain on your little experiment, put a strain on your marriage?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it brought out cracks that we didn't know were even there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I bet it's made you stronger since then, because I think people forget, too, somebody like yourself who's doing investigating work in journalism, you have to get to the nitty-gritty of it, and you have to, like, put yourself into that experience and really find out what the hell is going on, because it's so easy for someone like myself to talk from a third-person's perspective and be like, oh, that's good, this is bad, blah, 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 but you were like, no, I'm actually diving into this with everybody's knowledge and, like, finding out what it's like firsthand so I can relate at a better level.
Definitely. I don't know if it made my marriage more successful.
No, But like you said, like, I mean, maybe there's cracks there. But having said that, like you said earlier, fighting is not the worst. Like, sometimes you need that. Like you said, there's no such thing as a perfect relationship. And the idea that, like, oh, we never fight or nothing's ever wrong is a Disney fabricated story.
No doubt. It's how you repair, for sure. It's
exactly.
How you communicate, come back mm-hmm. together and repair. But I would not recommend anybody doing what I did ever at any
no.
time. Should I repeat
that
again? Yeah, don't. If you're listening to this, you know, you can sit back and go, wow. And then you can say, wow, he's so stupid. And then don't do it.
Well, I got to tell you, Charles, you are pretty impressive. I must say that people have called you the Carrie Bradshaw meets Hitch, which might be the best compliment I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, that I would have to agree. It was amazing to be pulled out that way.
And you've written 5 books.
I have.
But I love the name of all of them. Don't Date a Dick. The Problem with Women is Men.
Volumes 1 and 2.
Love it. So definitely, Charles, thank you so much for coming in. Couldn't get enough of you. Please, everybody, check out your show on Lifetime. It's in its 3rd season, 7-year switch. What date and time is that?
Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. local time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, Central, 9 p.m. Central. And episode 2, we've just launched. So we're at the beginning of the season, but you can binge it on Hulu and on iTunes.
Oh, it's on Hulu and iTunes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And on at mylifetime.com for the website for those who don't want to pay.
Okay, very cool. Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, but you can always stream it on Hulu. Charles, thank you so much for coming in. Anything else you want to say before you get
Charles.
Out of here?
No, thanks for having me. I mean, I guess the only thing I would add, if you're going to allow me to close things a little bit, is that if you have a dating profile, the first thing you should put on there is, I demand the very best from people, period.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I love that.
I demand
the very
best from people.
Including yourself, by the way.
I was just going to say that. You stole the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry.
I was like, including myself. God, I love that. Charles, thank you so much for coming in. Where can everybody find you on social media?
My social handle and my website are all the same. Charles J. Orlando. That's .com, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram, or you can join 1.5 million people on Facebook and get free advice there as well.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, you guys.
Oh, thank you. A big thank you to Charles Orlando. God, what an interesting guy. Super interesting. Awesome expert on 7-year switch. Pretty cool. Pretty cool guy. I like him a lot. But you know what also is really cool, Vanessa? You know what's super cool?
I probably know what you're going to talk about.
You know it's really cool? It's healthy hair. And it's very important. Why is healthy hair important to you, Vanessa?
I mean, I feel like that's the first thing people notice, right? There, you talk about your hair. I'm like always going for either haircuts or going to talk to my hairstylist. I actually just got, believe it or not, my delivery for, drum roll, my sugar baby gummy bears.
Yeah, so, sugar bear hair, baby.
I love them so much. I've been probably talking about them on social media and using them for about a year now. And if you can picture any celebrity with amazing hair, you can bet that they have a stylist who clue them in onto sugar bear hair. Jared, I want to ask you, what is your first... Did you ever try them, actually, the sugar bear hair? Gummy?
Yeah. Oh, of course. You don't think I steal them from Ashley? What are you, out of your mind? They taste so good. I can only eat... You can't eat more than 2 a day, though, so it's a little bit of a tease, but
it's really hard. I know. You got to really control yourself.
But I understand it's more for the hair than it is the taste.
It's more for the hair, for your nail growth as well, and ever since I've been using them, you're supposed to take 2 a day. They're great for all hair types, all gender, and it's supposed to make your hair shinier and thicker, and my hair has been so luscious lately, and people have been asking me what I've been doing, and I've been using the sugar bear hair gummies, and they are a bestseller on Amazon with thousands of rave reviews. They taste like sweet, delicious candy made with the juice of real berries, but they contain everything you need for stronger and healthier hair. And as a teacher, I love this this bit of information I'm about to give you guys. As much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli, as much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries, and as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs. I love them. I use them every day, twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. I just got my new supply. Nutrients and sugar bear hair fans also found their nails and skin quality improved over time, and I could attest to that too.
I'm pretty sure that they just changed the slogan from an apple a day keeps the doctor away to two sugar bear hair a day keeps the doctor away. You know what I'm saying? So listen, guys, this is what you're going to want to do for all our followers out there that want sugar bear hair. You just go to sugarbearhair.com/help. That's H-E-L-P, help, for beautiful hair and a healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/help. Guys, go check it out today for healthier hair, just like Vanessa.
Yep, you love it.
So, Vanessa, what's new in your life north of the border?
north of the border in good old Canada. Not much. I mean, as you guys know, I've been moving into my new apartment. I haven't had any furniture today. Actually, I'm getting my couch and my dining room table. Real exciting. Those are my updates. Nothing else really going on. I was actually in Florida with my sister and my nephew and my brother-in-law. So that was fun. Nice little getaway because you need to recharge your batteries and just step away. So I did that for a little bit. And now I'm back home. And I mean, there's not much. Actually, there's a Just for Laughs festival happening in Montreal this week, which is the biggest comedy festival in the world. John Mayer is actually doing a show with Dave Chappelle.
What? Slow dancing in a burning room combined with Dave Chappelle? That's amazing. It's like my dream come true.
So excited. So those are my updates. What's going on with you? Are you guys planning your wedding?
We're trying to. So we're getting there. So we actually put a rough draft in 2 weeks ago for our first guest list. So we just...
Ooh.
Yeah, we kind of named every... Vanessa, of course you're invited.
Okay.
But we just kind of put a list out there of, you know, everybody we could possibly think of who we want to invite the wedding. And then we're going to try to narrow it down from there. So, you know, we're starting off with like, you know, 1,500 names, really. No, I'm teasing. Come on now. You think I honestly... We're just...
Well, listen, aren't you... Ashley's Italian, right?
Yeah, her dad's Sicilian.
Oh, exactly. So she's really Italian. So
very Italian.
That sounds normal to me. That's why I'm like, oh, okay, that's legit.
So now we're just kind of putting a guest list together, trying to figure out who we're going to invite to the wedding. But we talked to a wedding planner, and his advice was put everybody on the list you could possibly think of and then narrow it down from there. And so that's exactly what we did. It was kind of fun to just be like, you know, who are we going to invite? Who, like, your cousins, my aunt, blah, 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 blah. And then it was also, the coolest part was thinking about bachelor people, like thinking about...
That's what I was going to ask, franchise. You guys have so many friends in the franchise.
Exactly. Not only, you know, cast members, but production. And so it was cool, like, putting those names together and be like, who's going to come to our wedding? Who are we inviting?
Is this going to be televised?
To be determined. We'll see.
Ooh.
Thing for myself is to make sure that Ashley has the best wedding that she's ever dreamed of. So whether that's on camera or off camera, doesn't really matter as long as it's the best possible wedding that she's always dreamed of. Because it's important to me to have, obviously, a great wedding. But I know Ashley, obviously, very well. And I know that Ashley has been dreaming of this day since the day she came out of the womb.
And
so, I want to make sure...
That TV show she's been watching, Bridezilla, or there's a show.
Yeah, she watches Bridezilla. She watches Say Yes to the Dress, which I watch now, too, you know. If I'm on the couch and the TV's on, I don't really have control. So she's always watched those shows, so I know she's super excited, so we're trying to just put that together for her.
Well, let's talk about Bachelor and Bachelorette parties.
I know. Well, now I'm trying to figure out Bachelor and Bachelorette parties, so... The cool thing is, for Ashley, I know that her bachelor party is going to be super low-key. She doesn't even like going out on the weekends, let alone like throwing this huge rager. So I know she wants to like just rent a house, have some girlfriends over like for a night or two, and just, you know, do whatever they used to do back in their teenage years, like have sleepovers in their pajamas, watch chick flicks, drink wine. That's going to be her bachelorette party, which is probably going to be
some...
No, well, I mean, she can have strippers if she wants. I don't think she wants strippers, but her sister might get one for fun. But for me, I kind of want to do the same thing. I've always been pretty low-key. And so, like, as fun as it would be to go to Vegas with a lot of my friends, like, I'm so much more low-key where I just kind of want to hang in, drink, watch movies, like, have, honestly, like, a cookout. That would be my ideal bachelor party where it's just, like, 8 to 10 of my closest friends. We're in a backyard. We're drinking beer. We're playing bags or cornhole, as you people call it over here. It's bags, okay?
Bags.
It's the
I call it bags. I think it's an East Coast thing, though.
It's totally bags. Yeah. Everybody, it's cornhole. That's the game.
Crack open some pop and play some bags.
Crack open some pop. Maybe just no Bud Light. Crack open some pop, you know, play some bags, have a good time. We'll have the Patriots playing in the background. It'll be a great time. So that's kind of like my ideal bachelor party. But we'll see. I'm still planning that. Like, I'm trying to figure out who's in the bachelor party, who's not in the bachelor party. And then, like, the good thing is, though, I think Ashley said she has, like, 10 people in her bachelorette party right now. That's what she's thinking.
In the bridal party? Like
bridal party, excuse me. Yes, bridal party. That is a lot. But the good thing is I don't have to match that because I was actually recently in a wedding where the groomsman was seven or eight people.
Yeah.
And then the bridal party was like 10. So.
You can have like two guys walk down with one feminine.
I had a girl on each arm. So.
Yeah, there we go.
Felt pretty cool. I'm not going to lie about that one. So we'll see. Just like, it's so early on though. People are like, when's the date? Have you guys planning? We're like, we don't even know. And then they're like, is it going to be a TV wedding?
You don't have a date?
No, we don't have a date. And I get it. We're saying next summer. But we don't have, like, we're not saying it's July 27th. We don't know the exact date of when it's going to happen, which is actually a little concerning because we still need to find a venue, which apparently books up, like, what sounds like 15 years in advance. It's unbelievable. I remember.
Especially if you want something super popular. So we're not sure if it's televised. We're not sure when you're going to get married.
Not sure about anything. What we're sure about is that Ashley and I want to spend the rest of our lives together, and we're going to get married at some point next year.
I did have a question. Are you guys living together?
No, not yet. So we're probably going to start. I mean, I spend every night over there, so it doesn't.
Right.
I guess, yeah. We're not living together, but we pretty much are. So we were originally thinking November when I'd move in, because Ashley just recently moved into a 3-bedroom and it's still getting put together, and I don't want to move in halfway through her little apartment project.
Oh, trust me. And it's a hassle. I'm going through it now, and half of my deliveries are not sending in the proper deliveries, or my mirrors are coming in cracked, or I can't find the proper. Yeah, it's a hassle.
So to add another hassle of myself to that situation.
You're not a hassle.
I find myself pretty easy to live with. I'm not going to lie about that one. But I also don't want to invade her space while, like, you know, there's boxes everywhere and there's still pictures need to be hanging up in shelves. And while I'm hanging it up, like, I want to make sure that her apartment is set, ready to go. And it's like, okay, now I feel okay. Or excuse me, now Ashley would feel okay for me to move in. But the thing is, now we've been talking, I might move in earlier because I pretty much live there as it is. I don't like sleeping in a bed without Ashley, and neither does she. And so it doesn't really make sense for me not to move in sooner. So probably, realistically, August or September, within the next month or so, I'd probably move in.
Okay. Wait, maybe I shouldn't be asking this. Are you still where you were before?
Yeah. Living with Nick.
Okay.
I know, that's so weird. I know, I do a podcast with Vanessa, and I live with Nick. Go figure.
Right?
If you would have asked me that a year ago, I'd have been like, you're outside your mind. That's never going to happen. And yet, here we are. I know, but you guys are so mature about everything. Like, you've never said anything awkward. You've never brought an awkwardness to the idea that I'm good friends with Nick and you're doing a podcast with me. And Nick has never brought any type of awkwardness to me about being good friends with him, but doing a podcast with you. You guys are both very mature about the entire situation, very understanding of how this business goes, specifically how the Bachelor franchise goes, where you're just friends with Constance, your ex. Like, I mean, I just gotta, you know, like, I'm friends with, you know, for example, Wells. Wells is a friend of mine, and he made out with Ashley, and I just got to accept the fact that that happened, and, like, I got to move past it.
It's a very weird world and complicated world we live in, but I'm very fortunate to still have that, you know, Nick and I still have a level of respect for each other. And I always find that important when you end a relationship to still remember the good times that you had. I wanted to make sure it wasn't awkward for anyone. But I'm glad we're at the point we are right now.
Well, speaking of Bachelor, you didn't watch the episode last night, did you?
I didn't know because I was on a flight back home to Montreal from Florida.
So
maybe you can fill me in.
I will fill you in very quickly. It was down to three. It was Fantasy Suite Weeks. The final three, Garrett, Blake, and Jason. Jason is the one who went home. She sent him home before the Fantasy Suite. But what happened was the drama came in because Jason left. She sent him home because she said that she was in love with Blake and Garrett, but only falling in love with him, wasn't there yet. So she had to send him home because the feelings weren't as strong. And so he came back at the end for more clarity. And the problem becomes, I find, that sometimes with a lot of these contestants, which is understandable, there's just no clarity in the Bachelor franchise. So the idea of coming back and asking for more is something I guess I can relate to. But having said that, is also so difficult because unlike the real world, not the real world because the Bachelor is the real world, but unlike, you know, the Bachelor bubble, like, if you're out in the real world, you can just, like, it fades away with time. On The Bachelor, it's just, like, this is the way it works. Like, it's over. I'm sorry. I have two more relationships that have further feelings than I do with you. So, like, with Fantasy Suite Week, Vanessa, because you went through this, I did not. I was fourth. I was cut the week before. What was your experience going with Fantasy Suite Week, knowing that, like, Nick was going to be, you know, spending overnights with not only yourself, but two other women? How awkward was that?
I honestly, sometimes I think that I look back and I'm like, did I do the show? I don't know if you feel like this, but it feels like it's been so long ago. And it's once you're in it and once you're filming, a week feels like a month. And like a day feels like weeks. So I kind of just went into it knowing I really want to spend that alone time with him. Cameras off, just getting to know each other's personalities and just like me, you know, Nick can talk for days. So we literally spoke the entire night. But back to Becca's season before I got cut off, I actually respect the leads that do that and know that if they do not have as strong feelings for a person, that they're not going to bring them into something as big as Fantasy Suite and
totally.
Lead them on.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I respect Becca's decision for that.
Oh, absolutely. I think if she knew before the Fantasy Suite that Jason was not the guy, you absolutely let him go before the Fantasy Suite, just like she did with Colton last week. She knew it wasn't Colton, and she wanted to let him go as soon as she figured out that it wasn't going to be him at the end of this thing. And so it just leaves Garrett and Blake. So who do you think is going to win?
Garrett, I think.
I don't know because...
Wait, who's funnier, Garrett or Blake?
They're really neither one of them is funny. The problem with, like, I like Blake. He seems like an all right dude, but man, he is so obsessed with Becca. It's getting to the point of creepiness a little bit. Like, I don't think Blake is obsessed with Becca because she's the Bachelorette. I truly think that he just digs her for who she is. Having said that, Blake kind of reminds me, it is beautiful, but it's a little much. Blake reminds me of the guy who would... the guy that falls hard very fast, like after one date is like, I'm in love with you and I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you.
Is he younger?
He's like late 20s, I think. He is kind of younger. He seems like 28, 29. Garrett, I think, is in his early... Garrett is right around the same age. The thing about Garrett, Garrett's been married once before. He had a marriage for 2 months.
Oh, is that old or is that considered marriage?
I'm sorry, what?
Was the marriage, or was he still considered, like, divorced?
No, he got married. So he was with her for 3 years, I think. They got married. The marriage lasted for 2 months before they got divorced. The divorce is finalized. This happened, like, 2 years ago or something like that. But that's pretty much Garrett's storyline on there. So, like, I think that, I don't really know. I don't, if I'm being honest, I don't feel it as much with Garrett and Becca as I do with Becca and Blake. So I think that she should put... I think it should be Blake. I think that, like, while he is a little obsessive and in his own head a little bit,
exactly.
But I think that their connection is stronger than what she has with Garrett. That's what I think it comes down with. So let's figure out who Becca picks, whether it be Blake, whether it be Garrett. That's all going to be very dramatic. As Chris Harrison would say, the most dramatic season in Bachelor history. But speaking of drama, we have our wonderful, our amazing, our co-host who's traveling all around the world on the line, Dean. Dean, are you out there?
What do you mean? Speaking of drama.
I knew you'd love that.
What does that even mean? Do I come along with drama attached to me or something?
Dude, if you watched Bachelor in Paradise last year, come on now. You were the centerfold of it. Not a bad thing. You were just like the storyline.
I'm in Paris currently. You guys should go look at my latest Instagram post. I have a very special friend visiting me in Paris, actually, as well.
Oh, really? I saw the drone. The drone action looked freaking amazing.
Oh, thanks. Well, that was great. But you guys remember, well, Vanessa knows Alex. Alex Forty from my season is in Paris right now, too. And we're roomies for the next couple days.
Oh, thank you. Alex, a big hug for me.
I will give him a hug for you. I've given him quite a few hugs, actually, so far. But those have all been for me, not for you.
Did he come visit you because he knew you were out there? Or did he just randomly run into you?
No, he's in Europe.
He was in Russia with his family. And France is kind of on the way back to the U.S. if you're traveling west. So decided to stop over, him and his brother, and we're all hanging out. And what's great, which I am very thankful for, is I'm going to be able to pump him off on a bunch of Parisians and send him on some dates for some reconnaissance. And figure out what it's like for an American Russian to be dating in France. I think that's what all the listeners are interested to know.
Obviously, everybody wants to know what dating internationally is like. Speaking of that, have you been on any dates in the past week?
Have I been on any dates in the past week? I have not. So since we last spoke, I think I was in Kuala Lumpur last. I went to Singapore, and then I went to Greece, and then I got to Paris this morning, or late last night. And Greece
Paris
was fine.
Paris is the city of love.
Paris is the city of love. I still have a lot more time here. So, you know, maybe I'll go on a date while I'm here, TBD. But the funny thing is, so when I was in Greece, at least the area that I was in was kind of like a, more like a party area. I met up with three of my friends who happened to be staying there as well. And they were going on dates left and right, which was kind of weird and good for me at the same time, because it kind of gave me some time to explore the island and fly the drone a little bit. But Greece is interesting. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Greece, but at least the area that we were in, it was Corfu, which is like northern Greece. And it was like a huge party scene. So it was like a bunch of, 20-year-olds just partying the whole time. And they were, like I said, they were going on dates left and right. It was actually kind of mind-blowing. And there wasn't very many Greeks. They were in Corfu. We didn't go to Mykonos. Unfortunately. But it wasn't that they were dating many Greek women, I guess, because that's typically not where they would go to party. But there's a lot of international. So my friend that I was with, where was she from? She was like Albanian or something. And I don't know. It's always interesting traveling internationally to places like that where it's kind of like an international hotspot for people to meet and just kind of party and drink and all that kind of stuff. I'm sad because I want, obviously, like while I'm on this adventure, I want to be able to gather dating intel and share it with you guys. But I'm kind of a dork when it comes to dating. Like, I don't really want to go on dates when I'm, especially traveling internationally,
Sense.
Like, what if you end up liking someone and then you have to come back to America? Like, what do you do then?
Right.
Do you do long distance,
No, it would make no sense, Dean, for you.
Exactly. Especially if they're like Albanian or something. Long distance is tough regardless of who you are. Even in the U.S., like if you're in California to New York, it's hard enough. And then you go, obviously, triple that distance.
Yeah, but Dean, you also have to remember, like, you going on dates is not for yourself. It's for our own entertainment. So you're doing it for us.
Yeah.
I've already done that three times on the Bachelorette Paradise and Winter Games. I've already dated for your entertainment.
All right, that's a fair assessment. So what's your favorite thing you've done in France so far?
I'm sick of it. Well, like I said, we haven't been here very long. We climbed to the top of the Eiffel Tower today.
How was that? Was it badass?
Beautiful. It was pretty badass. I was like, obviously, it would be nice to be in Paris with a girlfriend or a significant other.
Aww. You're going to get so many girls sliding into your DM now?
Dude, like, he doesn't have 17 girls sliding into his DM every minute.
Oh, well, that's all fine and dandy, but that's not necessarily what it's about.
And so, are there a lot of single ladies over in France? Have you like kind of been, chit-chatting at all? Not dates, but just like casual.
I will say the French women are beautiful. On my flight out here, so Alex and his brother got in this morning, and like I said, I got in late yesterday. And actually, I was on the same flight as my buddy that I was in Greece with, and so we like went out for a couple drinks, and I came to bed pretty early, about like 10:30 or 11. But I mean, the French women are beautiful. I never really expected. I wasn't expecting it, but everywhere we went, and it was like a young.
They're very what looking?
Natural, like just naturally so natural. Beautiful.
Like not a lot of makeup.
Yeah, like not enhanced or they don't wear a lot of makeup in Europe.
Why do I feel that French women don't shave their armpits? Is that like a fallacy?
Maybe that's what I can do.
It was a trend at one point.
Is it still a trend, or did it end?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to ask Dean to find out for us.
Yeah, Dean, just go up to a nice little French lady and be like, would you mind lifting your arm for me for a quick second?
No, I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to go up to random women and start checking for myself.
You know what's so funny about that? I guarantee those women will allow you to do that. Dean has this way where
get out of here.
I swear to God, Dean, it's unbelievable how you just don't... You have this natural charm about you where I'm pretty sure... Like, for example, I'm a guy... And I would let you, if you went over and was like, hey, can you lift your arm? I'd be like, yeah, sure. Okay. Like,
sure, man. Check out his armpit.
Yeah. You like it? It's pretty good.
I think that it definitely does kind of go a long way traveling, especially by yourself. But not necessarily like that, but just like, I don't know what to say, personability, because I would never say it, but being respectful and mannerful when you travel, it definitely helps like meet people and like, to carry on conversations that maybe otherwise wouldn't necessarily happen. But
so traveling by yourself, what's the like one of the few things that you've learned about yourself that you probably maybe changed you?
I don't know if I think anything has necessarily changed me, but I will say I think we discussed this a little bit last week. Is the more time I spend alone, the more I like begin to revert to like the thoughts, like like the thought patterns that I had when I was younger. Cause like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. Like I was kind of always like a nerd and a loner up until like maybe 15 or 16. And I always had like these, not like weird thoughts, but like different ways of thinking. And then, after from 16 until I was, you know, 25, 26, however old I am, you kind of think more different when you're in social settings and you're surrounded by your friends all the time, right? And if you never really take the time to be by yourself, you never allow yourself to have your own, like, original thoughts. And it's not like, I mean, obviously, there's anything profound or anything like that, but it's still really interesting to see the difference of how my regular life, when I'm back in Los Angeles, I'm around my friends 24/7, and then, like, here, obviously, I'm allowed to be by myself a little bit more and things just kind of, I don't know, unfold a little bit differently inside my head. And I don't know, it's just a weird thing. It's not necessarily like I found myself in any kind of sort of way. It's just a different, I guess, experience, you know?
Totally. That makes sense. Are you still writing?
I am. I haven't posted quite as much just because I've met up with friends for the past maybe like week or so. And I've kind of been kicking myself for that a little bit as well. I still have another 2 weeks left, so I plan on doing that a little bit more.
Well, the reason I asked is someone actually on the Help I Suck at Dating podcast Facebook group wrote on July 19th, said, just listen to the pod, and I vaguely remember some psychic guy coming on some months ago telling Dean he should get into writing, but Dean didn't seem too interested. Fast forward months later, and he's, you know, waking up at 3 in the morning, writing his life away. So was that true? Did somebody come
It's funny, yeah. I remember, I can't remember his name. It was Dominic or something like that. He came on, he told me that, and I kind of, like, scoffed that up. Like, no, that's never going to be me. I'm not a writer by any means. I obviously still am not, but it's just interesting to, you know, put words onto paper or laptop or whatever it is. And it's just, like, it's interesting to kind of, just, like, chronicle. It's like, you're journaling, right? Like, I've never really journaled before, but to kind of chronicle the things that are going on inside your head, it's interesting. It's like a weird way of, it has a different perspective very therapeutic. Like it just adds a unique perspective to things. But
totally,
I need to keep doing that. I definitely will jot down on my phone every once in a while on my notepad of like things that I want to like sit down and actually write about and like expand further upon. So it's just a matter of like taking the time to sit down and kind of explore the thoughts and ideas and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the psychic's name was Reginald Lewis. Yeah, he was in studio, wasn't he? Yes.
He
gave the vibes and the aromas. Like, everybody had a different color.
He's an aura color reader.
Yes. Wow, he had you pinpointed, Dean. Holy
Was he there when, Jared, you were there as well?
I was there. He said, it was focused on Dean, though. It was right around, like, a couple months ago. Dean was going through some stuff, and so it was a lot about Dean. He just said about me that like I had like an orange, I think, creativity color around me, which was very nice. But that's so.
Mine was red.
Yours was red. Maybe mine was yellow. Then I don't.
I think mine is blue or something.
Blue. What does that mean?
I don't remember what blue means, but I remember her saying that I was very empathetic and that because I have the ability. Be very receptive to other energies. I can somehow, you know, feel sad sometimes if I'm around someone who's like not feeling well. I can absorb their energies, and I need to learn how to, you know, still be empathetic towards other people, like be able to understand why I'm feeling certain ways and how it can be because of other people's energies around me, blah, blah, blah. But she was so spot on about so much stuff. And I think at one point, too, the same person on Instagram, she did an reading on Raven and her boyfriend, and she was really spot on with them too when we were talking about that. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I mean, Reginald, man, he nailed it on the head. So Dean, you got to keep writing.
I still am a little skeptical of all that kind of stuff. I kind of like law of attraction sort of thing, maybe to a degree, but
I mean, I'm skeptical too, but he did call it with you in writing. That's very interesting. So you got to keep writing and let us know how it's going.
Well, I'll keep writing. Yeah, I mean, I write Instagram captions every single day.
Did you any other new tattoos?
No, but I re-pierced my ear today.
I saw that. Tagged Alexis in his nation.
Wait, what?
So when I was in fifth grade, my aunt came to visit, who lived in New Jersey, I was 10, and he's like, Dean, you have to get your ear pierced. And so I was like, okay, Mommy, I'll get my ear pierced. Like, sure. And I got it pierced, and I had a little hoopy earring in there for a while. And then it closed, and then when I was, like, 17, I got it re-pierced, but in a different spot of my ear. So I've always had two holes on my left ear, but I've never really had two earrings in there at the same time. And so I was, like, walking around Paris by myself today, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to re-pierce that second hole and just kind of see what happens. And so that's what I did.
And you say that traveling alone hasn't changed you. Now you're a man with pierced earrings. I love it. I almost got pierced earrings in high school, too. I wanted studs. I wanted two studs. I was that guy. Oh, yeah.
That's like in the early 2000s. That was in.
Until I was wearing my Paul Pierce Celtics jersey. I wanted two studs. Feel good.
I had my ears gauged.
I can see that.
You can see it. I could fit like a pencil through there at one point.
So is it a gauge? Like the earring that has a hole in it?
It's like a barrel, and you put larger ones in slowly over time.
Just stretch it, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It looked cool. I wanted it to look tough.
That's funny, because I wanted to get gauges in college for a while, too, and I was always too much of a wuss to do it.
So, Dean, why don't you do it when you're studying, where you're traveling abroad?
I think I'm still too much
one,
of a
one
to
step
do
at
it.
A time, let's get the hoop, then the gauge.
If you go too big with the gauges, then they'll never close. But, Ethan, it sounds like you never went past the point of no return with them, yeah?
Well, let this be a cautionary tale. I went very slowly because I wanted them to close up. I went very slowly, and they did not close up. Like, you can, like, Jared,
it doesn't, I mean, you can see
you
the
can
hole,
see
but
that there's a hole there.
You can see that there's a hole there, but it, yeah, it looks like closed from afar.
Yeah, but like when you get up there, like there's, I could put an earring through here right now if I wanted to.
That's crazy. So it's just never going to close. You're always going to have a hole.
I will have a hole. Permanent damage to my earlobe. My precious earlobe that God gave me.
The little yeah. Eastern earlobe. Well, Dean, thanks so much for joining us, man. Please be safe. Travel safe. Tell Alex we said hi. Have fun in Paris. Enjoy your time over there.
Thanks.
And
next time I talk to you guys, I'm going to be in Dublin. And then after that, I'm going to see your beautiful faces in the studio again, because I miss you guys all so much.
I miss you.
Oh, we miss you too. Aww. Hopefully I'll be back in
and
studio.
And Vanessa, too. I was going to say, we need all three of us to be reunited in studio at the same time. That would be phenomenal.
I know. I miss our aura. We had a good aura and vibe in here.
We
and
now did. It's
great aura.
Now it's just me and Easton. All right, Dean. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Have fun.
Safe travels.
Bye, guys. Miss you.
Miss you, too.
Bye. Miss you.
Bye.
Aw, Dean, you babies. He's such a good man. I'm so glad he got his ear pierced. That's pretty badass, actually. Of course, Dean will get
his ear pierced.
He's going to come back a completely different man. Tattoos, ear piercings, all the good stuff.
He sounds so good. He sounds so relaxed. He sounds like he's having a lot of fun.
He does sound like he's having fun. You know what else is fun, Vanessa? You know what's really fun is getting in shape. And it's something that I need to do because I've eaten about 3 chocolate bars a day since I've gotten engaged, because Ashley and I just really sit on the couch and watch TV. And so I'm just kind of not going to the gym right now, and I need something that I can work out at home with. So I found, I'm sure you've heard of this before, Beachbody On Demand. We've talked about it before in the podcast. It's awesome. It's an easy way to use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts that you can do from the comfort of your own living room 24/7, which is huge for me right now because it's very difficult for me to just get off the couch and go to the gym. So what I need is to like tell myself, okay, you're just getting off the couch to move 2 feet over there and you're going to watch the television and you're going to be fine. You're going to work out with all these people in the own comfort in your home so nobody sees, because it sucks when I go to the gym too and I haven't gone in like a couple months and like the guy next to me is like benching 4,000 pounds and I'm like using the 10-pound dumbbells. It gets super intimidating. So I love the idea of working out for home. And you know why Beachbody On Demand is the best? The history of success. This is the company that's behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, my favorite, Hip Hop Abs, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, all those. They got the best trainers. You can get motivated by celebrity super trainers, you know, like Sean T. They got Tony Horton on there. You can work out on your own schedule. Like you said, you can work out at home 24/7 whenever you want. Workouts are as short as 10 minutes. They don't require any extra equipment. In the time that it takes you to drive and park at the gym, like I was saying, you could be finished with your workout by then.
I just moved into a new area in Montreal, so I don't know where the gyms are, so I'm definitely going to get Beachbody. I hear Insanity is insane.
You heard Insanity is insane? Who would have thought?
Who would Which one's your favorite?
My personal favorite is the 21-day fix because I like having an end goal. So I know in 3 weeks that I'm going to see results, which is the most important thing for me because sometimes it's tough getting to the gym. And then the first couple times you go, you're really working hard and you don't see those results. The cool thing about 21-day fix is you see it in 3 weeks, which is really cool. Easton, you got any favorites over there?
Vanessa mentioned Insanity. I like that one a lot too. You know, my dad is a bodybuilder, and I grew up in a very fit-centric household.
Oh.
And Beachbody On Demand, that's the real deal. All these programs, specifically Insanity, I think will really get you into shape in a quick way.
And like I said, the cool thing is you can do it from the comfort of your own home. That's why I really want you to try this service because, you know, I'm trying to form the best body I can, and so you should really try it because it goes from the comfort of your own home. Right now, what you can do to get a special free trial membership is all you have to do is text DEAN, D-E-A-N, to 303030. That's DEAN, D-E-A-N, to 303030. You will get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and all the support totally free just by texting DEAN to 303030. Guys, try it out today. Beachbody On Demand. All right, Vanessa. Well, apparently you have a brand new couch coming in.
Yes, I'm super excited. They just called. They're on their way. So I'm going to have to let you guys pack right before speaking. I was really sad I can't do this part with you. But I'm sure there's some interesting ones out there. You're newly engaged, so you don't suck at dating as much as I do. So you can give better advice.
I'm going to definitely try to give as best advice as I possibly can. Vanessa, it's always a privilege. We miss you in the studio. Have fun on your new couch.
Too.
I expect to see photos on Instagram.
Will do. Bye, guys.
Bye, Vanessa. All right, let's read some emails. Erica, you want to read some emails over there? That beautiful voice of yours.
I would love to.
Yes, and please keep sending these emails. Keep writing on the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating. It's my favorite thing. I love scrolling through them, trying to give as much answers as I possibly can. So please keep sending them in.
All right, this is from Emily. She says, at my apartment building, everyone who pays for parking has an assigned parking spot. A few days ago, I came home from work. Someone had parked in my spot. However, they did leave a note on their dashboard with their phone number saying to call, and they would move if they were parked in my spot. Well, clearly they were. Okay, whatever. So I called the number, and a guy answered and came to move his car quickly. When he came down, we had a short conversation, but I don't know his name or much about him. He was pretty good looking and seemed like a good guy from the short time I saw him. I would like to contact him again and see if there's anything between us. But I am not a very courageous person. This happened a few days ago, so I'm not sure if my window of opportunity is still open. I would love some help. Also, congrats to Jared on the engagement.
Oh, thank you so much, Emily, for your congratulatory. This one is a tough one. It was just one meeting, right? Am I missing a part of the email? It was just that one meeting where he was like, here's my number. Please call if I want to move the parked car. If he's cute, go for it, girl. Why the hell not?
But like, you also know nothing of this man. Probably not married because you would have seen a ring, but like,
well, if he's cute, like,
what are you gonna say?
Hi, you want to grab a drink sometime? They live in the same apartment complex, they have
apparently
similar
okay
interests. I don't think it's the craziest thing. I mean, what's the worst thing to happen if he says, oh, either no or I'm dating someone, then you move on to the next guy? But if
okay,
wouldn't it be a great story if Emily told her kids one day, do you want to know how I met your dad? He left a note on his car saying, if you want me to move this, call me. And I called him.
Do you
and
think
it
it's
was
like
happily ever after?
A way that he picks up women. It's just a weird, why was he parked in a clearly assigned parking spot anyway?
I've done that too. Well, maybe he doesn't live in the apartment complex because I've done that too. Sometimes when I was visiting Ashley, I parked my car one time in the garage and not a spot that's mine. And I left a note saying, if this is your spot and you're coming back before I leave, call this number and I will come out and move my car.
Oh.
So that's what I'm thinking probably happened, but
okay,
is that he was visiting someone, so he might have been visiting his girlfriend.
See?
I know, but what, I mean, who,
okay,
at this point, it's so, Emily, it's so new, and it's just like nothing right now.
True.
That like, just be like, I remember, let me tell you a story. I mean, it didn't work out for him, but my ex-girlfriend one time got into a little bit of a car accident. And it was just a fender bender. She was fine. And the guy walked out and they exchanged information, all that stuff. And he texted her later that day and it was like, hey, you know, I'm really sorry about what happened. But you seem really nice. Would you ever want to grab a drink? And she said no. She felt awkward about it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But I think if a girl is texting a guy, the guy would feel less awkward about it.
And she was in a relationship?
No,
or this was your ex at the time.
This was my ex at the time.
Okay.
But yeah. She told me it was pretty funny.
Emily's concerned that the window of opportunity has closed. And let me tell you, that window is, at least in my experience, that window is open for a very long time.
Yes. Like
if I were this guy who disobeys parking rules and some lady called me 6 months later saying, hey, you parked in my spot, I'd be like, let's get a drink.
It was only a few days ago.
Yeah, they're good. She's fine. As soon as you hear this, I don't know when you sent this email in.
True.
Call him right now.
Or don't even call, text
Lob
him.
Lob a text, just like a... Make a joke about the car or something. Hey, are you parked in my spot? No, don't do that. Don't listen to me. I'm really, really bad at this stuff. But some joke about the car.
Hey, this isn't where I parked my car. Don't send that, but I think it's kind of funny.
Oh, Jared, no!
It's cringeworthy, but man, that's funny. This isn't where I parked my car.
Sure.
All right. What do we got?
All right. The next one is from Daniela. She says, I'm kind of stuck in a pickle this summer with two guys. I mean, this is so much fun already.
God, Daniela, you're like the Bachelorette.
Yeah, you're winning. Guy number one. I met him along with his family about a year ago on a trip, and we all became close. I never thought I could connect with a person the way I connected with him. We got back from the trip and realized that we live super close to each other. We went on a date or two, but then it was time for me to head back to college, so we just decided to see what would happen. The talking went on for about 3 months, then things started going downhill. I no longer heard from him. Fast forward to this summer, I saw him a couple times and our chemistry was palpable. But when we're apart, it's tough. So it sucks to admit, even after all this time, I still have feelings. Guy number two, met him this summer at a bar. Super sweet and funny and overall great to hang out with. We've been on a couple dates and they've been great, but the connection I have with him is nothing like what I have with the other guy. Although he's great, I don't know what to do since I feel like he's more invested than I am. Even though I want to be on the same page as him, I can't get the other dude out of my head. I don't want to hurt him, but I also don't know if I want to let go just yet. Help, because I really suck at dating.
Danielle, I think this probably goes back to what Charles was saying earlier. Don't have blinders on. The guy that you might think is perfect for you probably isn't. And the guy that you think is not perfect for you might just be. And so for guy number two, I think you're not giving him a fair shot because you're just thinking about guy number one. And I'm nervous that guy number two might be a really good fit for you. But you're just not even allowing yourself to open those doors because you're so fixated on the other guy.
I literally, when I started dating my now boyfriend, had been on a date with another guy who I thought in my mind made so much more sense. And for the first like two dates with my now boyfriend, I was like, oh, whatever. Like, no. It's this other guy. And then what do you know? He stopped answering me. We never talked again. And the guy that I ended up with is actually the good one.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's, Danielle, if you just change your perception a little bit and change your mindset into not focusing on, actively try not to focus on guy number one.
Yeah.
Like, don't think, oh, there's nothing I can do. He's just always popping my head. No. Actively try not to think of him, distract yourself, and then continue going on dates with guy number two. And listen, if it goes on for three or four times, you go on three or four dates with this guy and you still don't feel anything, then it's probably not the right guy. Having said that, I don't think at this point you're giving it a fair shot.
Yeah. She needs to like just open her eyes a little more, let it be, go on one more date and just be like, just see what it is and don't think about anyone else.
Yeah. And don't forget that you're going to have to put work in to trying to forget guy number one. It's magically not going to happen. So you have to actually really focus your time and energy on the person that's in front of you. And that seems to be guy number two right now. I'm not saying he's your future husband, but I'm saying don't rule it out.
Okay. Now this one's from Katie. It says, this guy is waffling.
Waffling. Does that mean like going back and forth?
Is that what that means?
I guess.
So. Okay, let's see. I've been seeing someone since April. He lives about an hour away, so we don't get to see each other a ton. We see each other on the weekends when we're both free. We had the talk about being exclusive, and he was totally on board and asked me to be his girlfriend. I was ecstatic. Days later, he was making plans to come visit me. I told him if he came during the week, my mom would be there. He was okay with this and said he was fine with meeting her as long as I was all right with us making that step. Not 5 minutes later, he totally changed his mind and said he wasn't ready and that being in a relationship might not be the best idea for him at the moment. I was so confused and hurt. A few weeks later, he came down and we went to dinner. He didn't pay and got drinks. He gave me all these excuses as to why he wasn't ready to be in a relationship, but liked me and didn't want me to see anyone else. I was so angry that he was being so selfish, but also because I think it's total BS. If he wanted to be with me, he would, right? He has since messaged me and said he knows he wants to be with me and he has totally changed the way he acts towards me in a positive way. I don't know if I should let him go because he doesn't seem to be very stable or give him the benefit of the doubt.
Is this dude bipolar?
It's a mess.
I don't understand. It's just, there's no, maybe we're missing context, because it literally goes from, we had to talk about being exclusive, he wanted to meet my mom, to days later, he made plans to come visit her, and then 5 minutes later, 5 minutes after he said that he wanted to meet your mom, he's telling you that he's not ready to be in a relationship. And then a few weeks later, you guys got to see each other, and he's still saying the same thing, that he doesn't want to be in a relationship, and he's making excuses. But then since he's visited her, he's now messaged her and saying that, no, I want to be in a relationship with you.
Or he wants to be with her even if he doesn't want to be in a relationship with her?
I think at this point, Katie, you got to give some sort of ultimatum where it's either we're in a relationship or we don't talk to each other. There's no, it's never good, I feel, to be in that gray area of, well, we don't really know what we are, but we're still hooking up and we're still dating each other, but we're not exclusive, because it just opens up a can of worms that you just don't really need. I think it's either you cut it off or you guys are boyfriend girlfriend.
In my experience, they're like, oh, what are we? It just does not. It never ends well at all.
Yeah, and I agree. And then the people that say, like, that might reference Ashley and myself, Ashley and I have only been friends for 2 years now. There's been no touching, no nothing like that. Now, granted, there might have been harboring feelings, which probably is very unhealthy.
Yeah.
But there was, like, she was dating other people. I was dating other people. Like, so I think at this point, Katie, that's kind of the direction you have to go in. And if it works out at the end, then you guys will come back to each other. But right now, I feel the best thing for you is to really talk to him and say, it's got to go one in two directions, because my mental state and my heart can't take much more of this, where I need to either be in a relationship with you and we work towards something, or we cut things off.
I also think, know your worth and know that you're way worthier than someone who like can't decide if they want to be with you. Like, at the end of the day, that's it.
I agree. You expect the best from other people, but you also expect the best from yourself. So
there's a lot of dudes that like get off on like dating someone.
No,
oh my God. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Come on, Erica.
That like, when they're seeing someone, they love like hanging out and talking about like, oh, you're going to meet my parents. We're going to go on these trips together. Wouldn't it be great if we got married? Things like that. And then when push comes to shove, then they like the idea of it, but then they get freaked out when it actually starts to happen.
Yeah.
And they withdraw, or sometimes they just leave completely.
My advice for guys out there is that when that happens, push through it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's always, I don't know if you've had the same experience. Of course you have like doubts and hesitations and fears, but if once you push through that wall, the other side of it is spectacular.
It's so much better. But if this guy isn't capable, like is not willing to go, I mean, this is a very minor commitment too that she's asking from him.
I know
he's not willing for that.
I know you guys are just you're not even boyfriend girlfriend yet. That's all you're asking for is a little bit more exclusivity. Katie, I think the best thing for you is to give some sort of ultimatum.
Which is great. I feel like that's never the good advice, except in this situation. So
I know. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. And dating and love is hard. And it's just a game. It's all a game, really. But we're trying to work through the game. We're trying to become better at the game, really.
Yeah.
That's why we're here, guys. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody's here, isn't it? Well, thanks again for everybody tuning in to a new episode of Help I Suck at Dating. A big thank you to Charles J. Orlando for joining us. Please check out his show, 7 Year Switch. Thank you so much for coming in. Beachbody On Demand, thank you so much. As always, guys, go check out Beachbody On Demand. You text Dean to 303030. Also, Sugar Bear Hair, if you want as great hair as Vanessa has, you got to go check out sugarbearhair.com/help. Thank you so much for everybody joining in. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Easton. Thank you, Vanessa. Even though the line was a little staticky, it's always wonderful hearing your voice. Thank you, Dean, for calling in from France, which is crazy when you really think about it, that he is by the Eiffel Tower right now and we are in Los Angeles and we just talked to him. That's a little crazy to think about. Make sure you guys tune in next week for an all-new episode of Help I Suck at Dating, where maybe we'll suck a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.